Take your Bibles, if you will, turn to 1 Peter chapter 3 and Hebrews chapter 12. But if you would, let's stand together, 1 Peter chapter 3, begin reading at verse 17 as we continue some thoughts from this book of 1 Peter, though this will just be a launching pad today. For it is better, if the will of God be so, that ye suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit, by which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison, which sometimes were disobedient, when once the long suffering of God waited in the days of Noah while the ark was a preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls were saved by water. The like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who is gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto him. Shall we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this opportunity to gather together, either in person or online. And Lord, we ask that your name would be honored and glorified this morning. And Lord, we thank you for the salvation that Jesus Christ provided for us through his death on the cross. And Lord, we thank you for your love and mercy, for second chances. And Lord, we pray now you'd have your hand upon this time. In Jesus' name we pray, and with thanksgiving, amen. Thank you, and you may be seated and take your Bibles and turn to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 12, and we'll read verses 1 and 2. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of grace. Looking unto Jesus, as you drive down I-75 going south, and as you go into the state of Ohio and you move your way continually through the state, and then into Kentucky, and then into Tennessee, you are going in the direction of the Smoky Mountains. Near Knoxville, you'll head off east, and then you'll get near Sevierville and head towards the Smoky Mountains. And you take these roads, because that's where you want to go. Now, you can get to the Smoky Mountains other ways, but this is the easiest way to get there, not always the fastest. But have you found that when you're on the road, it's good to keep your eyes on the road? Because what happens if you look off to the left or look off to the right? You have a tendency to either overcompensate because you're looking and you head off in the opposite direction, or you'll head toward the way you're looking. Well, the same is in the walk of our lives. We need to keep our eyes on the Lord. There are many things that will distract us in our daily walk. And I'm going to be talking about the fact, are you on the right road? Are you on the road that you need to be on? And number one, if you would, take your Bibles and turn to Joshua chapter 23. Joshua chapter 23. Are you on the right road? If you're heading north on I-75, and as you pass the Dixie Baptist Church, they have a huge sign of Jesus Christ, and maybe you've seen that sign, and underneath the sign of Jesus, it asks the question, are you on the right road? You know, there are many ways that we're going to look at today, but only one way will lead you into heaven. And we find in Joshua chapter 23 and verse 14. Notice what is being said. And behold, this day I am going the way of all the earth. And you know in all your hearts and in all your souls that not one thing hath failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spake concerning you. All are come to pass unto you, and not one thing hath failed thereof. Therefore it shall come to pass that as all good things are come upon you, which the Lord your God promised you, so shall the Lord bring upon you all evil things until the day, until he have destroyed you from the good land which the Lord your God hath given you. When ye have transgressed the covenant of the Lord your God, which he commanded you, and have gone and served other gods and bowed yourselves to them, then shall the anger of the Lord be kindled against you, and ye shall perish quickly from off the good land which he hath given unto you. So if you do that which is right, the Lord will continue to bless you. And if you do wrong, then God will bring judgment. Could you say the same thing could be said of America? He has blessed us beyond measure. Now, I have said this on many occasions. The best thing that we have to say God bless America for is gospel preaching churches. And how important it is that churches preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. That men and women need to know Christ as their Savior. And the way of all the earth is this. One out of one will die. We are headed for a coffin or an urn. And we will all die, and all the earth goes that way. And so we need to be prepared. Number two, our own way. The book of Isaiah chapter 53, if you would please. Isaiah 53, and we'll be going to a number of portions of scripture this morning. And I hope that you'll stay with us. Our own way. Have you ever pondered your way? My brother, God bless his soul, used to say to me, not everybody thinks like you, Paul. Now, do you think he said that when he was agreeing with me? No. Now, just because I was his older brother didn't mean I had the right to tell him how to believe. Yes, I did. I was the firstborn. Don't you agree? Thank you, you that are firstborn. Yes. But have you ever told somebody what you thought and you thought they should agree with you just because you thought that? And you were disappointed that they didn't agree with you? Okay. We find here that we all have our own way. Isaiah 53, verse 6. All we like sheep have gone astray, and we have turned everyone to his own way. To his own way. Why do people drift from the Lord? Well, number one, if they don't know Christ as their Savior, they're really not interested in him. And they go in a different direction. But what if they know Christ as their Savior? Why do people drift from the Lord? And you say, Pastor Paul, could you give us examples? I could give you example after example to tonight's 6 o'clock service. So many through the years of our ministry here at Covenant have come and served the Lord, some for weeks, some for months, some for years, some for decades, and then have drifted away. I'm not talking about going to another church. I'm talking about the fact they are not going to any church, and they have stopped serving the Lord. They have gone in their own way. And it can be very heartbreaking to a pastor to see people leave and go in their own way. Would you take your Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 7, verse 13. Familiar portion of scripture. You know it well if you've been in church for any length of time. We're going to talk about the broad way. The broad way. The road of sinners. Multitudes upon multitudes are on this road. And it says in verse 13, enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go therein, or thereat. We find that religion is not going to get us into heaven. And there are lots of religions in our society. There are lots of religions in the city of Sterling Heights that you can go to many different houses of worship. But religion will not get us into heaven. Knowledge will not get us into heaven. When we live in a very interesting society today with so much technology, and it's amazing what we know today versus a few years ago. Entertainment is not going to get us into heaven, though we are an entertainment-driven society. And I say this, that along the Broadway, there's lots of entertainment. May I say this, that along the Broadway, there's lots of religion. Can I say this, that along the Broadway, there's lots of knowledge. But they're leading towards hell. And though that's not a popular subject to talk about, that is exactly where it's leading. To separation from Jesus Christ, separation from God, utter darkness. But I believe people will have their memories and they will remember the opportunities they had to come to Christ. Multitudes upon multitudes are on the Broadway. If you would, the book of Proverbs, chapter 16. Proverbs 16. There is a way that seemeth right. A way that seemeth right. And you may have this verse underlined there in your Bible. And Proverbs 16, verse 25. And it says, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. The ways of death. Humanism. It may sound right, and it may sound good, but it leads to the ways of death. Evolution. I tell you what, ask the one question. Why? Why did things evolve? Why would anything need to evolve? Why would things come out of the water to go on land? Why? The evolutionist doesn't know. They just say, well, it happened. Really? You know, if you ponder evolution, you realize that there is nothing that is stable. It is a terrible theory. And yet people believe it because they would rather believe a lie than the truth. And in our society today, we have people who would rather believe a lie than the truth. I was reading an article, and you may turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I was reading an article, and they were talking about the fact that it's very hard in our society today to tell young people that they should not have intimacy before marriage. That they don't want to hear it. I mean, because television programs make it look like it's okay. Magazines make it look like it's okay. And society believes, well, it's okay. Before marriage, it's all right. But I can tell you this, it may seem right in the eyes of man, but the ways of it are death. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and we'll read verses 3 and 4. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. You underline that verse in your Bible, if you would, please. Highlight it on your phone, if that's where your Bible is right now. Highlight it. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. And we need to share the gospel. Cheryl was telling me this morning about giving a tract to a young man at Culver's. Anybody been to Culver's lately? How about to the new Chick-fil-A? Did you stand in line yet? Not stand, but stay in your car? I haven't. I'm going to drive by one of these days. There's not going to be anybody in line. I'm going to get in. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, to whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. There's a way that seemeth right. Jesus said, if the blind lead the blind, they both will fall into the ditch. And you know what the problem is in our world today is that the people are in a spiritual ditch because they followed someone who is spiritually blind. And that is sad. At number 5, the way of peace. The way of peace. Romans chapter 3, verse 17. Romans chapter 3 and verse 17. The way of peace. Notice it says, and the way of peace have they not known. Why haven't they known it? Verse 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. They have not known the way of peace, so they need to be taught, correct? They need to be shown the way of peace. And as some have said, the only Bible some people read is your lifestyle. You need to make sure that you're a godly example. Because they don't know peace. Why do you think we have such problems in our world today? Because we don't know peace. Who is the Prince of Peace? Jesus. And yet the evil one has blinded our eyes to the truth that he is the Prince of Peace. And the way of peace, they don't know. Sin causes a division between us and God. And Christ is the only one can take out that which divides. That divides. Number six, the narrow way. Back to Matthew chapter 7 and verse 14. I hope you kept your place there knowing that we would be back. The narrow way. Matthew chapter 7 verse 14, we find here the road of saints. And it says, because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life. And what? Few there be that find it. So in our world today, there's what, 7+ billion people? Is that about right? Close enough? Anybody counted them lately? 7.5, so 7.5 billion people. In an estimate, how many of those people do you think know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior? Of the 7.5 billion, do 7 billion know Christ? 6 billion know Christ? 5 billion know Christ? 4 billion? 3 billion? 2 billion? You think we're getting close? A yes over here. 1 billion claim to be Christian. 1 billion. So of those 1 billion, how many truly know Christ as their Savior? The Bible says few that find it. Does that scare you? Does that scare you? Because a lot of those people are relatives, friends, neighbors, co-workers. How many people? How many people around the world have no clue who Jesus Christ is? We talk about the Beams Bible Day, and the desire is to send Bibles to Burma. Burma was once a very Christian nation. And yet today we are sending Bibles to bring them back again. How many people in Burma know Christ as their Savior? And few. But thank God for those that know it. Thank God for those who can direct others to the narrow way. Thank God for those who are saying this way. The road of 2020 was a long, curvy, and bumpy road. But the Lord was with us all the way. We can look to Christ and know that he is with us through good and bad. We know that he is here even today. Number seven. And how many points make for a good sermon? Seven. And then the conclusion. Seven. The way, the truth, and the life. Did you figure we'd get there sooner or later? John chapter 14. John 14. Christ is about to be arrested. Christ is about to go through the mockery of trials and the beatings and the crucifixion. And yet he's telling them, let not your hearts be troubled. It's good to know that he is with us through the difficult times. But in verse 6, Jesus saith unto him, that being Thomas, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. I am the way. He doesn't say I am a way or a preferred way. He says I am the way. There is no other way into heaven but through Jesus Christ. He is the door through whom we must enter. He is the truth. You think there's a lot of lies out there in our society? We could just go on and on about people who are lying. I could tell you this. God never intended for people to eat what? Brussels sprouts, lima beans, and peas. That's the truth. And yet I would dare say there are people here that would lie to you and say that peas are good for you. Anybody want to raise their hand and tell me that? See, look at that. Heretics. There are people who would tell you that lima beans are good for you. I remember when Madge Fox said, "You've never eaten my lima beans." She goes, "I'm going to bring you some lima beans, and you're going to like them." And you know what? I believed her. She lied. Her lima beans didn't taste any better than any others that I've ever eaten. But you know, we can argue over lima beans. But there is no arguing over that there is one way into heaven. We can't say that we need to coexist. Folks, the truth cannot coexist with a lie. And just simply put, the truth cannot coexist with a lie. And we are being lied about, or lied to in our society today. There is a way, and that way is Jesus Christ. Which brings us to the conclusion. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 31. The more excellent way. The more excellent way. Notice what Paul is saying after he's talked about the gifts. Verse 31, but covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. We'll look at chapter 13, verse 13 in just a moment. But this book is called the Love Chapter, Charity. And we see the long list of things that charity suffereth long. You know, I believe as you read these, you are reading about Jesus Christ himself. Charity suffereth not. And it's kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. Charity, love in action. Write it down on the side of your in your Bible there. Charity is love in action. It's unconditional love. And it's what Jesus Christ is. The more excellent way. Once we know Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, we are to follow the excellent way. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Number one, do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior today? Not do you have religion. Not are you a good person. No, but do you know him? And number two, if you know him as your Savior, are you following the more excellent way? Shall we stand together? We'll sing a song of invitation, number 17. You can come to the altar and pray by yourself, or if you want someone to pray with you, we would be glad to pray with you. You don't have to come here. You can come to the front pew and sit there, or even sit where you're at, praying, asking the Lord to direct your life. Dear Heavenly Father, at this invitation time, we ask that the Spirit would move and touch hearts. Lord, if there is one with us today that doesn't know Thee as Savior, may this be that day that they would come to the way, that they would follow You. And for the rest of us, Lord, that know You as Savior, May we keep our eyes on you, reading the Word of God, attending church, keeping our hearts in tune through prayer. And Lord, we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen.